بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alright, so first off, just to give you guys some insight into how we do things here, we didn't even have like an actual topic to talk about. You know, second day of fasting, we feeling a little drowsy. Dude's getting tired. But alhamdulillah, I think we got a good topic of discussion. There was a couple of things we were literally just mentioning. The first of them being how generosity and like us, you know, giving for the sake of Allah is tied to our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may give people wealth who even withhold, you know, what he has given them. But to earn the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most blessed manner is to give back from what he has given you. Because when you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a razak, that he's the one who's provided you with your blessings, whether it's your house, your car, the money in your bank account, how you spend on your family, how you give back for his sake, then you realize that you give it out as much as you can. Not in excess, is like that's what some people need to understand. You don't have to give out all your wealth, but to give out enough so that you can still function, but you understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna bless you for it. And my favorite ayah regarding giving in charity in the Quran, it is in Surah At-Taghabun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about if you loan Allah a goodly loan, he will double it for you. He doesn't just say he will increase you with it. He doesn't say he'll bless you for it. No, he says he will double it for you, and he will forgive you. And Allah is most appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
He says Allahu shakurun halim.
And you know, it's important that we bring this up, especially beginning Ramadan, and you have those nights in Taraweeh, and then you have the guys who go and they go from mosque to mosque, and they're asking for donations. I know it can seem a little bit repetitive, and it can seem like every single day someone's asking you for money, but this is Ramadan, and you know, like we have all these different organizations and all the different establishments and masajid and institutes that need funding. And you know, if Muslims aren't going to fund them, the government,
if we're not the ones funding them, then who is?
Exactly.
Because at the end of the day, the disbelievers, like they're not going to be the ones to go ahead and support you guys to build a mosque. They don't want to see that. They want to see the complete opposite. They will put money to seeing us Muslims lose and suffer, which they do every single day, if you haven't noticed. Mm-hmm. All right. Versus us as Muslims, like, you know, it's hard to give to our own Muslim brothers and sisters because, you know, it just feels like everybody's asking for a donation. Which is okay, right? Because even if it's a little amount, right, you still contributed to it. Like, I want you to imagine you donated a couple dollars to build a masjid and you see the virtue of that in the hereafter. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that will do for you. Like, you're still going to get rewarded for every single time someone does something in that mosque for the rest of your life and after you die.
You know, like, sometimes in your mind, remember that there's going to be hereafter. You give that $10, what is that? That's a meal, one meal? Come on, you can give that.
Look. Everybody that has some sort of wealth are always like, oh yeah, well, you got to start investing into this, investing into that. People always ask me, oh, Oz, when you invest, I'm like, it just depends. Like, the way I look at investing is like, I invest into something that's going to give me obviously a nice return, right? And investing for us Muslims would be investing into your akhirah, mm-hmm. investing into your hereafter, because we as Muslims, we know that we're going to have a hereafter. We know that we're not going to live forever. And we know that deeds, everything stops except for a few types of good deeds, you know, children that pray for you, and then, like, let's say an ongoing charity, right? Or something that's ongoing after you die. These are things that you want to invest in.
You want to be able to, and you understand that investing in yourself and your akhirah by giving back in charity is not only going to give you a positive return here, but it's also going to give you that positive return, like you said, in the hereafter. And every single time I go to donate, I remember there used to be a time where I tried to automate my donations, but I stopped doing that because I wanted to feel the fruits of my labor. The fact that I can see where my money is going, and I can look at, no matter what the amount is, I can see I'm donating this amount purely for the sake of Allah. Not where I put like, oh, I just because sometimes I don't always remember, I'm going to make sure, oh, every single Friday I donate X amount to whatever charity. I'd rather like look at what I'm donating because it helps me like renew my intention. Like, when I think about it, at least for myself, it's as if I wasn't thinking about like my prayers at all that day or whatever. Like, I always want to think about the good deeds that I try to do for the sake of Allah, because that helps your intention. Because when you feel that, you're going to continually want to keep doing that, because you feel like, oh, I felt this, like Allah blessed me, and I'm trying to do something and give back for his sake. Right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you multiple places in the Quran when he tells you to give for his sake, and how forgiving, how merciful, and how appreciative he is for his servants who want to give for his sake.
You know, it's like, subhanAllah, whenever you give out of wealth, it's like, it also kills that love that you have for wealth. Bro, that love that you have for wealth, sometimes it'll take you down dark paths, dark roads, but, you know, you constantly give in charity, even if it's a little bit, and you, like, the desire to help people and help one another, because sometimes you don't recognize how fortunate you are and how fortunate other people are. And if you did recognize, you would be more compelled to to give out and, you know, spend from your wealth.
One thing the Prophet ﷺ always said was charity never decreases you in wealth. And the other thing is, he always advised us to go ahead and look at people who are, like, doing worse than us, right? So, you know, that we're grateful. I want you to imagine this. You have such a love for money, but yet you give it up for the sake of Allah. And on top of that, it causes you to become more grateful. And what does Allah say? He will increase you if you're grateful. So I want you to just imagine, like, the endless cycle of that. You give up your wealth for the sake of Allah. You look at people who don't have as much as you, and it causes you to become more grateful. And with that, Allah increases you because of that. And on top of that, he increases you because you donated your wealth.
And you literally see how, like, the wealth has been beautified for us. So why would Allah not increase you for something that you desire so heavily, yet you give it up for his sake?
I was about to say, and we know the saying, whoever gives something up for the sake of Allah, Allah will always replace it with something better.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, Allah might grant you even more wealth, as he says, like, he can increase you, he can bless you more, he can double it for you, or he can grant you blessings from where you haven't expected, right? Because donating in charity, it's also an expiation. It can remove some of your sins, it can remove any of, like, your mistakes, your misdeeds. It can make up for any defects you have in your deen, right? If there's something that you were meant to do, but you weren't able to do it, you can donate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for that. Such as, like, let's say you lied, right? You swore on Allah for something and you lied. You could fast 3 days, or you can go ahead and you can feed poor people, you can free slaves. Like, these are all types of charity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed upon you, that it will purify you. It will purify you as a human being.
One thing I also want to talk about is, like, charity just doesn't have to be to some random organization or to, like, a random person. It could be towards your friend. It could be towards your family. The best charity, like, is the one towards your family. You help, like, you spend, like, from your wealth on your family. It's like, subhanAllah, some people, it goes over their heads and they think that their wealth, it's either for them or it's for, like, they give it to, like, some specific charity. No, I think, subhanAllah, you take care of your family as well. You go buy them something. Like, when's the last time you went and you spent money for iftar for your family?
Like, the most rewarding charity is going to be the one for your family. Like, it does feel rewarding to donate to something, like, let's say, like, a sadaqah jariyah, right? Let's say a water well being built, right? So anytime someone takes water from that and it's given out to the people, then you're going to get rewarded for that. But when you think about your family, that's also an ongoing, like, sadaqah for you when you pass away, is that if you treat your family in the best way, especially, like, you take care of your family, that's not even like your nuclear family, right? Like, your mother, your father, your spouse, family, your children. Like, if you take care of them on top of, let's say, like, your cousins or your uncles or people who are less fortunate, like, in let's say your home country or overseas or whatever, you put that effort towards trying to take care of them. Why would Allah not increase you for that?
You know, like, subhanAllah, it also makes me think, like, sometimes even between us, you know, it might sound like a joke, like, in the midst of it, but when we go out to eat, we look at each other, you're trying to earn some good deeds today? and you know, it's like, we're offering to pay for each other. It's like, subhanAllah, those things, like, I've never looked back at a charity or anything that I've given, and I look back and, like, dang, I wish I never gave you that. Think about that.
Yeah, that is so true.
It's never like, dang, if only I had that money right now. Dang, like, I've never thought about that in my life ever. So it's like, sometimes it keeps me, like, you know, sometimes no matter where your, like, your wealth bracket is, $5, $10, $1, it doesn't matter. You know your wealth, and Allah knows your wealth. So whatever you can give, and you can give, and, you know, even if it hurts a little bit or it doesn't hurt, it's like, subhanAllah, Allah knows.
I truly just think about it as, like, you're just, like, leaving something that's material for the sake of Allah. Like, I don't need this. This is not the reason why I live on this earth. So I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give it to whoever needs it more than I do. And I understand that Allah will increase me, but it's not always about Allah increasing me. It's just so that I cleanse myself. Yeah. Because the more I try to hold on to it, the more greedy I'm going to become.
There's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, he commands the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to take from them sadaqat, like, from the companions sadaqat, so that they can purify themselves with it. And, like, they give in charity through that. And, like, it was an encouragement for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to take these charities so that the companions can purify themselves. And also, it's like you said, forgiveness of sins, cleanses your heart, purification of your wealth, all these things.
This is literally how communities are built, you know, especially when you start off with your own family. Imagine you built such a strong family. Now you can go out and build such a strong community, right? But if we're not the ones investing in ourselves, because we as Muslims, we should want to become self-sufficient, especially in this day and age when everybody's against us. Mm-hmm. But when we're against ourselves and we're tied onto our wealth, then we just end up losing. We lose everything.
Imagine if we all kept everything we had to ourselves. Imagine how much more poverty. I mean, there's already a really significant wealth gap, but like, imagine how much more poverty there would be. That's why I love the practicality of Islam. In Islam, we have like one of the pillars is zakat. You have to, like, you zakat, you give a portion from your wealth for the sake of Allah. You're a Muslim, like, subhanAllah. It's calculated. It's like a tax, essentially, but it's for the miskeen.
Let's even bring up how it's not like wealth that's, you know, that you're supposed to give up from wealth that you need to give to your family or wealth that you need to survive. It's your excess wealth. Mm-hmm. It's if you have, like, let's say from all your whole salary from the entire year, you only have $250 left, 2.5% of that is what is taxed. Is what you give in zakat. It's not about some large number. Whatever else you give, that's, you know, that's sadaqah for you. But out of zakat, Allah only asks for you for a little bit amount, bro.
And yeah, we pay sales tax on everything that we buy. Are you kidding me? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Bro, like, look, you got to think about it. We pay a sales tax on everything that we buy. We work, government takes a tax from us. And it's just like everything we're just taxed on. Yeah, Allah asks you for such a little amount. And like, to get to that amount is also very hard too, because just your excess wealth. You might make $100,000 a year, but spend $90,000 of it, and you only have $10,000 in excess wealth. Meaning you only have to give, you know,
$2,500.
No,
$250.
Come on, bro. Are you
serious?
This guy's mad,
bro. That's
Ramadan.
Bro
couldn't even let me finish my sentence.
That's Ramadan rate. Ramadan rate.
Only, like, you see, you hear with $10,000, only $250.
You just went from $100,000 a year person to only having to give up $250. And you never know, that $250 will go a long way. Remember when we were in Egypt, right? And we were pulling money out of the ATM, right? To go buy some things, right? And we were just looking at the conversion amount. But we were looking at like, dude, like this is what we spend in like a couple of weeks. Yet this feeds a whole family for a month.
Yeah.
A whole family. Not, I can't even live on myself for that for a couple of weeks here, let alone feed a whole family. Because you just never know.
That's a wake up call. Reality check. When I remember, we went to Egypt, that was a huge reality check.
Or like, whenever you see all these organizations, they're talking about, oh, $50 can feed a whole family for home. Like, that stuff is real. That stuff is real. Like, we've experienced it firsthand. That stuff is real. Don't be thinking that these people are out here just scamming. Like, there's definitely enough money to go around. Yeah, it's not going around.
Yeah.
I mean, Allah provided for this earth in abundance, right? Like, when you think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in Surah Al-Baqarah, when he expels Adam alayhi salam and Shaitan to earth, he says, you're going to find provision here on earth. So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like leave certain people without wealth and then give a lot to some others? Because there's a test. The wealth is going to be a test. The people who don't have wealth, that's a test for them. The people who do have wealth, it's a test for them. When you see someone like you, just like you, a human being, just like you, who's going to be judged, just like you, that's suffering, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, hey, like, you deserve some wealth too, because Allah gave me more so that I may give you more. Not so that, oh, Allah gave me more, so you should just work harder.
Imagine this, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you from his bounty, but then you refuse the same gift that Allah gave you to another person. You won't give them for your bounty. Like, imagine, you're actively denying it. And subhanAllah, I remember reading that in the Quran, it's in Surah An-Nahl. You deny the gift of Allah from someone else. SubhanAllah.
And it really makes you think about like the blessings that you have in life, right? You can think of another form of rizq, which is getting married, right? There's actions that before you're married, they're haram upon you, right? So you have to give up that desire for the sake of Allah. But then once you go ahead and make a halal, you go the halal route for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you get married, now all of a sudden the haram becomes halal for you. Why? Because you did something for the sake of Allah. You gave your wealth for the sake of Allah, and you gave up something that you desired. Allah's going to increase you for that. You gave up this desire to have, like for men, you gave up the desire to go after women without being married to them. You go ahead and you get married, Allah's going to bless you with a righteous spouse.
Mm-hmm. And what does Allah say in Surah Nur about people, young people who get married? Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he'll give them, increase them from their bounty. What is he also saying regarding like people who fear, like, who they used to kill their children out of fear of poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he's the one who provides for me. It was never you. It was never like from your good works. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who provides.
Yeah, there's a lack of understanding of like where your wealth really comes from. Because at the end of the day, if you really trust in Allah, then you know that Allah will never leave you hanging. Like, I always like to use this example. When has there ever been something you've gone through in your life up to this day where it causes you to like not be standing here today in an okay way? Like, nothing. You're here. You're still living. You're still trying to move on to the next thing.
And I remember talking to Hussein, and we had this discussion. And I was saying, provision will chase you more than death. Because think about it. Your provision finds you every day. Death only finds you on one day. The moment you die is the moment moment provision stops. So every single day, it doesn't matter what you do. You can go and put all your money into any investment. You could lose all your money. You'll still find a way to eat if death isn't written for you. Because it's Allah's will. Allah's will is to provide for you until death comes to you. And then, like, nothing's going to come to you. Like, I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying.
No, 100%.
A real Muslim is going to be someone who they know when their back is against the wall that Allah is waiting for them on the other side. Not that, you know, this hardship is meant to break them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he aims to make it easier for you. So when things are getting tough, especially because like a lot of us fear for our wealth, it's something I think about a lot. Like I sometimes just get these worries about my wealth, because if I want to be married, if I want to support my family, if I want to spend in the cause of Allah, I'm always thinking about, okay, like I got to do XYZ every single day. I got to work as hard as I possibly can. But Islam, like working hard in Islam is not the same as working hard outside of Islam. Like the Western society and like non-Muslims, they're giving you this idea that for you to actually be successful, you have to work harder than every single other person in like your actions. So they think that material output is what real success looks like. So you're working these long hours, you're getting very little sleep. But in reality, that's not what you really have to do. If you work, you know, to your capacity, you don't have to overburden yourself. Just like in ibadah, in worship, you don't have to overburden yourself. If you overburden yourself, you're not going to continue in that way. Do what you can, then trust in Allah. But they go hand in hand. You can't just trust in Allah and then do nothing. If you're doing as much as you can, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually give you exactly what you've been looking for. But it's not going to come on that first day. You think, oh, I'm going to change myself. I'm going to go work hard. You think the first day you're going to find the job that you've been looking for? No. You go for 30 days and I promise you, you'll find a job. If you go out every single day looking for a job, or if you're on these apps or on these like Indeed or LinkedIn or whatever, you're looking for a job every single day for 30 days, you're going to find a job, bro. I promise you that. Because Allah is not going to leave you hanging. If you go in there with full trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you and you're here working as hard as you can, then why would he not? You know what I mean? And any job that you don't get or whatever's not written for you, it's not meant for you. It's not going to come your way. Why would you want it to? Because if Allah gives you that thing, maybe it's going to make it worse for you. Your situation is going to become worse. You might be making a paycheck, but you resent your family now. And I've talked about that before. I was like, imagine I have a job. The pay is like not that bad, but I hate my bosses or I hate the environment. And I come home and I start resenting my wife. And I remember I got asked, they were like, oh, would you resent like your wife because of, you know, you have to provide for them? I was like, no, but I want provision, like me providing for them to be a pleasure. I want to be able to make money because I understand my role as a man and I want to have pleasure in that. I know that I'm like, doing good for my family.
Bro, I was thinking about this recently. SubhanAllah, you might be put in certain situations and to the outside eye, to someone else, a different person's perspective, it might look good. Like, dang, doing well for himself. But in your heart, you don't feel it. Like in your heart, if you're actually like disturbed, you lose sleep at night, it doesn't feel good for you. And it's like, subhanAllah, that's why you really got to take into account your life. Stop worrying about what other people think and think about like the matter of your heart. Because subhanAllah, you might go and make whatever sum of money. You might go, it's not even about money. You might go and do whatever it is that you thought you wanted to do. And it's all of a sudden, like, you're not praying as much. You sold out your deen for a little gain. You can't, like, you get all this constant anxiety, all this stress, all these things that you never felt before when you were, like, at practicing. And it's like, subhanAllah, like, to the outside eye, you might be balling. But interior, like, you might be the most depressed person alive. And it's really a matter of the heart. Sometimes, like, we really think we know ourselves. Sometimes you really don't know yourself, because you might want something your entire life. You get that, and it's like it didn't end up fulfilling you. Now you just wasted a lot.
And you lose out on so much chasing that one blessing that you thought, like, I remember that I was young, so, like, this story is from when I was very young. I didn't understand the capacity of like making dua. But I remember I was this type of person when I was pretty young that I made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I made this dua a couple of times. And I remember telling Allah that if you give me this thing, then, you know, like I'll be on my deen, like on top of everything. I'll be on top of everything. I'll be reading Quran. I'll be praying. I'll be doing this. I'll be doing that.
And then you get in, you don't do it.
Yeah. And then like, and then things were going well, but then I just wasn't feeling fulfilled. And I was just like, what's going on here? Like, why is things not going my way? And it made me realize like, yeah, of course Allah may give you the thing you've been asking for, especially if it is best for you. But then he might give you the other, like he might give you the thing you've been asking for as a means to test you. Right? I gave you this thing. Now what? What's going to happen? Huh? Let me show you how I know what you don't know. And it reminds me of the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels he's going to create like a khalifa on earth. And they ask him, they question him, are you going to create like a creation that causes mischief and sheds blood? And it really like, it made me emotional because I was thinking, I was like, dang, bro, Allah didn't punish the angels for questioning him. Like their only will is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he gave them the ability to question so that they can understand. So then Allah showed them. He didn't punish them. He didn't say anything. He just said, I know that which you do not know. He taught Adam alayhi salam the names of all things. And he asked the angels, what are the names of these things? They said, you are the most knowing. Right? And once Adam alayhi salam informed them of the names, they glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they were made to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. But you see how you can go out and like, you don't have to just blindly submit to Islam. You can sit here and ponder upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to you. Because as much as the Quran was revealed to the Prophet, it's also there for you. Right? There are messages in there that you should be reading, that you should be reflecting on. And you should try to find reflection through every single verse that you read. At least the ones that, you know, especially the ones that call to tawheed. I understand the ones that like talk directly to the Prophet or during the time of the Sahaba and stuff. That's kind of hard because like maybe times of war, things of that nature, what the mushrikeen were doing and that type of stuff. But there's lessons all over for you.
A verse I want to bring up, and it's always mentioned, but like I want to bring up like, you got to bring it up every time I'm on. Perhaps you love something and it's bad for you. Perhaps you hate something and it's good for you. You really have to understand what this means. When you hate something, you're not thinking about the benefit within it. But even though it may be good for you, so you really have to understand you as a human being, there would be like, have you ever looked back in your life and you thought, what was I thinking? What was I doing? I'm asking y'all. Have you ever went back in your life and thought like, what was I
doing? All the time.
Dude, right? It happens all the time. But the thing I love about that is 5 seconds after that, I already know I became a better person.
Exactly.
You know why? Because I was just sitting there reflecting. And in that reflection, I just learned a lesson. And in that lesson, I can use it to improve myself in the future. Wow, I can't believe I used to do that. Now I'm going to do this to improve. And it happens all the time. Alhamdulillah, it's such a ni'mah from Allah. Like, I love when Allah says in the Quran, like, these are verses for people who reflect. Like, yes, that's me. I'm reflecting.
And it's like, yeah, it's a final one. And it's like, you think about those times, and you're like, when you think about, what was I thinking? You're like, that's an indication that you're becoming like a new person. You've repented. You sought forgiveness. You're becoming like, you're growing. It's a sign of growth. And I always think, I'm like, subhanAllah. Last, I think of myself last year, I'm like, what the heck?
And the thing is, like in the moment, we didn't see it. Like in the moment.
We didn't perceive it.
Exactly. Like in the moment, you have people telling, oh yeah, man, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. I'm looking at myself a year. People said I was doing good.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Like, subhanAllah.
And then, inshallah, like, I'm looking back at myself right now, speaking on this episode, I'm like, man, that was nothing. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly. So it's like, subhanAllah, you look at those moments, you look back, and in the moment, you never perceived it. And that's one of the scariest things. Whenever I read in the Quran, it's like, even like in the beginning of Surah Anbiya, the time of like account has come, and the people are heedless, like heedless of it. Like, heedless means they don't, there's not even a single thought, like they're not thinking about it, and it's just time is running. Like, am I doing wrong right now? Where am I at right now? Like, these questions, they run through my head all the time, and it's like, subhanAllah. Even like, you'll think about it, we began this episode speaking about wealth. With regards to wealth, you probably had a much more capacity to do more, and you could have calculated more, and you could have tried your absolute best to make change in your community, your family, on earth, whatever it may be, whatever scale, whatever your wealth bracket is, and subhanAllah, you never realized. Because you never thought about it. You never realized you could have done more. You never realized what you were doing with your wealth, what you were spending your money on. You're like spending money on shoes, swipe, 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 swipe. And all of a sudden now you're like a hoarder. You got all these miscellaneous things and you could have given charity. Like, how many times have we bought something? We used it one time. We never used it again. ever. Like, it's finally, and it's like those things that you just don't perceive. You're like a robot. You're just pressing buttons on the screen, controlled.
Speaking of like how you talk about like reflection and not perceiving and being heedless, like just take this quote: knowledge without reflection is just a reaction. And knowledge, even when you think back on who you were before, you think about your hardships or the type of person you were, and you're like, oh, why was I doing those things, or what was I doing with my life? That's also knowledge, because you look at where you are now. You've gained more knowledge. You've become a different type of person, right? You've grown closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala versus who you were before, versus where you were before in life. And speaking the same thing for the Quran, if you look at the knowledge that is within the Quran, the most perfect preserved knowledge, like directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't reflect on that, then who are you going to be as a person? You're not going to know how to be as a Muslim if you don't look at the verses of the Quran and they don't change your heart.
Yeah, and exactly. SubhanAllah, that we all hear the saying, knowledge is power. Think about, now you got to think about, what do you know about yourself? What do I react to? What makes me tick? Like, all this requires reflection. What makes me tick? Why didn't I wake up for Fajr that one time? Do I need to... Look, a lot of people do this unknowingly. You guys have knowledge over yourself. Why? Because some people, they set multiple alarms. Why? Because you know you're not going to wake up on the first time. Just like that, like, it sounds harsh, but manipulate yourself into doing better. Set multiple alarms, do all these other things. Have knowledge over yourself. Learn about yourself. Learn about what makes you tick. Because sometimes, perhaps you've been living all this life, you never reflected not even on one
thing. I was just going to say, just change your mindset, because a lot of the things like you think you can do, you can actually do. You just don't do it until you're put in a position where you have to do it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, man, I could have been doing this the whole time.
Because
none of us react until it's high stake.
Yeah. When you live your life through other people's lens, like you try to live based on how other people perceive you, then your life is never yours until the moment where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in a test that tests every fiber of your being, your physical, your mental, your spiritual, then you're finally like, my life is mine. Because Allah put you through that and you got through it with His help. Nobody else helped you get through that. Nobody else even knew what you were going through. You might be sitting here, you're smiling at the dinner table, you're smiling around your friends, but in reality, something is weighing on your heart, but nobody else knows except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you deal with it solely with Allah and you see how you come through that. That's your life being yours. But then when you sit here, you're so worried about what other people will say, what they might do, or what they might think, then you're never going to live a life that's yours. Which is why we even know that your intention matters most when you're by yourself, right? When you're alone, when you're waking up for Fajr, or when you're praying tahajjud, or when you're making dhikr by yourself, or reading Quran by yourself, or whatever it may be, that's what's going to matter the most. All right, because that's where you know that your intention is the most pure. When nobody else sees you, you're in a dark room by yourself, you're out here crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's where you know your intention is real. Because what else do you have to gain besides talking to Allah in that moment? What other gain? There's no fleeting gain when you're sitting here making dua, right? You're not going to get some crazy thing in the material dunya. You're not selling your soul, none of that. You're out here, you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else is around. Nobody's hearing you except for Allah. And you know that. That's your life. That's the life that you should be trying to choose. Not thinking about what anybody else wants for you or how anybody else should perceive you. Because we've all had those types of moments. Still have those moments.
Like, it's who you are behind closed doors. Sometimes some people, every single day, they walk out and they got a mask on. They say life's a costume party and they show up with... Everyone, I remember I read this quote and it was so like, it was subhanAllah, it was so funny. It was like, my life changed when I realized life was a costume party and I showed up with my real face. I was like, subhanAllah, I'm like, everyone, you can.
Yeah, that's something that one of my high school teachers, like my English teacher, she used to always talk about. She was like, man, we as people, we wear so many masks. You know what I said to that? Not me.
because like subhanAllah, behind closed doors, you'll find out a lot. Even like the person you've been best friends with your whole life, they might be like, you feel like, dang, I don't even know them for real. Like, subhanAllah, if you knew what Allah knew, but you don't, like subhanAllah.
It's actually something like you wouldn't want to look for in a spouse, is like who they are with their family, who they are with their friends, who they are with you. If they're completely different people in all three settings, then they're constantly like throwing this mask on. You want to be the same type of person no matter who you're with. Of course, like if you're with your friends, you're having a little more fun, you're a little more joking and whatnot. But in terms of your personality, in terms of your character, in terms of your character and like showcasing that you are God-fearing no matter who you're around, that's very important for someone to be able to observe. Like, it's fine if you have different conversations with your friends, like, right? Like, we have different conversations.
You don't want to be known as the abusive person at home and then the good person out on the streets.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
And just to bring, tie this all back to what we talked about in the beginning of the episode, you know, give with your wealth in secret and in public. It doesn't matter. Like, do it all for the sake of Allah. Have that intention. Know yourself. You got to know yourself. You got to know what your intention is. Don't be weak. Don't let shaitan drive you out from to the left to the right. Be firm. You know, yeah. SubhanAllah.
I like what you said. You said, don't let shaitan drive you out. And we're in the month of Ramadan, and this is like the time to discipline your nafs so that when it comes time for shaitan to try to have influence over you, you understand that he's actually weak. He has no real influence over you. It's us that gives him power. Because Allah told us that like shaitan's influence over us is actually weak. It's actually weak, subhanAllah. He doesn't have no real influence over you. So when you go to blame him so quickly for something, oh, the waswas and this and that, know that it's weak. Right? With you, there's a cure. There's going to always be a cure. And the cure is the Quran. The cure is your connection to Allah. The cure is where your heart lies with Allah. Right? And this is why I say, and why we're tying this back to reflection, is that sometimes you think your heart is in a better position than it actually is. But a real humble person will always think that their heart is lower than what it actually is. Because Allah is the one who raises our hearts. Allah is the one who purifies our hearts. We seek to purify ourselves by seeking forgiveness from Allah, by remembering Him, by reading the Quran, by praying, by doing the actions that He has deemed to be righteous. But we ourselves don't accept that action to be to the fullest extent, to the fullest reward. Because even the Prophet taught us that a person might complete their prayer. Nothing good is recorded of it except for a tenth of it, a ninth, an eighth, a sixth, a seventh, a fifth, a fourth, a third, or half. So you can get very little portions of your prayer recorded. Same thing with your deeds. You might be making adhkar, you might be saying subhanAllah, but your head's thinking about the sky, your head's thinking about your exam, your head's thinking about your worries, right? Your fears, the things that concern you, the concerns that you're supposed to leave off for Allah. Right? The burdens that we place upon our shoulders, we want to have the weight of the world on our shoulders, we're supposed to place that to Allah. And the way that you take it off is by developing tawakkul, by developing a need for Allah, not just a reliance, but a need. I need Allah because I can't handle these burdens myself, so I'm going to hand them off to Allah. Not that, oh, I'm going to handle these to the best of my ability to show my strength. No. Allah understands where you are. I was going
to
say,
you got anything to prove to Allah?
Yeah, like you have nothing to prove besides the fact that you want to be a doer of good, of the people He loves. You want to do the deeds that He loves and try to earn His mercy. That's all you should be trying to do. You don't have to showcase that you're the strongest out here, that you're this nonchalant person who can get through whatever, who's unfazed by problems in life. No, you don't have to be, right? Because that's not what's going to help you attain righteousness. Helping you attain righteousness is by following the prophets before us and the best example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he showed us that being an emotional person is a mercy from Allah, right? Being able to showcase that you are struggling. All right, there's no shame in you going.
You don't showcase it, but it's to be patient upon it.
I'm talking about you can showcase it to Allah. Showcase that there's a struggle upon you, right? Like, I would be a fool to ever say that if I've made dua and I was like struggling just with anything, and I didn't go to Allah telling Him like I'm struggling right now and I need your help. That reliance upon Allah, you may feel it in your heart, but being able to say it out loud. Like you submit yourself to the fact that I don't know what to do or I'm not capable of getting myself through this. Because only Allah is capable. And it always brings me back to the dua of istikhara, because that dua of istikhara is like you placing your full trust and reliance upon Allah for whatever matter. But it's like what you say. When you say that Allah is capable, you're not capable. When you say that Allah is the knower of the unseen. When you say Allah is knowing that you are not. You place all these attributes upon Allah and you take them away from yourself. Although Allah has given you knowledge, you may know some things, but you only know a little compared to what Allah knows. Allah is all-knowing. So you place all your burdens upon Allah because He knows. He knows what's going on. He knows your situation. He knows everything better than you do. He knows that which you do not know, subhanAllah. So then, inshallah, it's going to end off this podcast. Hope you guys take some benefit from this. Hope you guys take a lesson. And speaking on the topic of wealth and giving and being generous in this month of Ramadan, help us in supporting families in Sudan, inshallah ta'ala. And with that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dude, out here playing too much with the mic, bro.
No, bro, because it came off during the episode. Anyways, don't listen to this guy. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You're still students of knowledge or not scholars. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.